Good morning. Today is Friday, June the 2nd. Joining us this morning, 9th, did I say the 2nd? Gosh. June the 9th. Yeah, you're checking your phone, aren't you, Miles? Yeah. Miles Slattery is alongside from the city of Eureka. Our quote this morning, whatever day it might happen to be. Let's see. It's all the kid quotes. That's no fun. Okay, our quote comes from Woody Allen. Okay, if my soul exists without my body, I'm convinced all my clothes will be loose-fitting. Yeah, and somehow they're kind of loose-fitting regardless of that. Oh, boy. Hey, summertime's around the corner. What does that mean for the city of Eureka?
For Parks and Recreation, it means we're starting up our summer camps. We're going to have our Camp Cooper and our Camp Ryan, our typical camps that we have every year. We're also doing some camps at the zoo. We expanded a camp at the summer camp at the school from from 4 hours to 8 hours. And we also are doing a basketball camp starting on June 26th. I may be wrong. If that's a Monday, that's the day it is. Yep, that is a Monday. So June 26th, we'll be doing Camp Net, which will be a new basketball camp for kids.
Is there as much interest? Yeah, I remember little guy. Carson used to have one. Washington had one. And it was just kind of somewhere for the kids to go. Didn't cost anything. And it was engagement.
Yes.
Is that the same model that's today, or has the finances and insurance and case law and all that kind of stuff changed it a little bit?
No, it's the same. As a matter of fact, that Camp Carson, that's the same as Camp Ryan now. It's kind of rotated between parks. I think it was once Camp Highland, Camp Carson, Camp 2030. So I think at Camp Ross, I think it's changed.
Ross was one also.
Yeah. So we rotated around, and now it's currently at Camp Ryan. And then we also have the free camp, which is Camp Cooper, and that's helped supplemented through a Habitat Conservation Fund grant that our recreation staff secured, and that allows for up to 60 children, free 8-hour-a-day camps, and we kind of concentrate on the disadvantaged children in our community and get them into Camp Cooper for a full day so that their parents can go do what they need to.
Are these activity-based, or is it in conjunction with the schools to have an academic component associated with it?
So Camp Cooper is kind of an environmental education curriculum. And so we do trips to the Hikshari Trail. We do trips to Sequoia Park, those type of things, and kind of do environmental education. And Camp Ryan has education component to it, too. And also, the fun games that you typically get at your camps.
Yeah, something that the physicalness, so you don't have a bunch of doing, doing, doing going on.
Yes.
You know, it's funny you say that. Anybody who's a parent or has been a parent or grandparent, yeah, exactly. You know, keep the sugar away. Oh, geez. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning. Are you just trying to look like a skater this morning?
I'm heading to Reading for a golf tournament, and this is my driving attire.
Oh, I see. You bring plenty of water so that the delays that you might run into?
I think we'll be just fine.
Okay. You have more confidence in the infrastructure of the state highways than I do. What is going on out at the zoo? I know that there's a lot more attention last 4 or 5 years, certainly with the investments that and the in-kinds that have gone probably since Nancy Hilfiger and her aviary and the family's support. It's a different kind of a zoo than what it has been in the past. Is there an ongoing master plan for the city about the zoo?
Yep, we just updated our master plan recently in conjunction with the Zoo Foundation. And it includes a canopy walk, which I think will be not only big for the zoo, but big for this area. It'll be the first of its kind, a canopy walk that gets you up into the redwoods. And have an experience like no other. And it also includes a native predator exhibits that would include a bobcat and a bear.
Oh, that native. Okay.
Yes.
I was down a different fork in that road.
And so currently right now we're starting on the beginning stages of CEQA for that master plan.
How long? I mean, we never hear about it, right? When a government has to apply to a government for government permits, you never hear about it because it just is process. How long does it take? What are you expecting? 2 years? 18 months?
No.
Two and a half days?
We're hoping. What's good about it is we're the city can be the lead agency on it, and city will be the lead agency. So we're not applying to another. We have to provide public notice and everything to allow other agencies to comment on it. But we'll be the lead agency on it. You know, the first few studies we're doing right now, currently the biological studies are being handled right now, and then we're going to start doing the traffic studies and looking at the other archaeological studies and those type of things that you have to do for CEQA.
Now, don't you have a lot of that information already?
We do, but you need to write it up specific to that. The traffic study, the most recent traffic study we had was from 2003 or 4 or something like that, so it's been a while, and so we'll glean some information off of that. But, you know, you do those traffic studies to determine, you know, the increase in attendance, what type of parking you're going to need. There's going to be, you know, a need for additional parking. But once we get into the next fiscal year and pay for these other studies, we should be done with CEQA no later than September.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So then in theory, whenever it dries out next spring?
Then it's a funding issue.
Well, okay.
So then it's a matter of raising the funds and going after that fund. There's a lot of support for this. It'll be beneficial to putting heads in beds, I can assure you that.
Yeah, I know the lodging guys, I've heard, are already kind of jumping up and down, excited about the concept of it.
Yeah, it would be a real game changer for this area, and especially for the zoo. It'll help offset the general fund subsidy at the zoo, that's for sure, and it'll you know, make it an attraction when you come to the Redwoods. I think it would be the first stop.
Now, is this part of the zoo, or is this part of the park?
This will be part of the zoo, and the native predators exhibit, as well as the canopy walk, will expand into Sequoia Park. But the
down in the gully area, right?
In the backside, yes, yeah, kind of back behind where the owl and the bald eagle is. That's where it's going to be, in the backside of there, and it's going to jump into the forest. And then the canopy walk will just be in the canopy outside of the footprint of the zoo.
Oh, so it's not going to be all over the place. It's just going to be kind of in a focused area?
It'll be back even after the zoo expands into the forest. It'll go even past that into the forest further.
Down into the canyons a little bit?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, it'll be elevated above those canyons, obviously.
Yeah. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a canopy, would it?
No. Unless you want a bungee jump or something.
Yeah, or mud walk.
Yes.
Instead of canopy walk. Mm-hmm. The old house that's down there. Is there any thought, the Pioneer, I guess it's not even a house, the Pioneer chimney and foundation, is there any thought, has anybody talked about either bringing it back as an interpretive center or taking it back to what it was?
God, you're just hitting on everything, aren't you? So we're also doing a master plan for the park itself, and we're going to be having public meetings coming up in the next month or so to design not only the new playground and bring back some of the old aspects of the original playground, but also
the
look
train?
At the overall park. I don't know about the train. I'd really like to bring back those big metal slides that used to be there.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a big liability nowadays. But there's going to be something. We're going to get community's input, see what they want to see in the playground, as well as the overall park. And we'd really like to develop the trail system in there a little bit more and add interpretive signage. And yes, there's been discussions about something down by the duck pond where the chimney is and doing further work there. There is recently a peace garden put in by the South, I get my rotaries mixed up. It's
Southwest,
either
South, probably.
I don't know. It was either or Southwest or it was Old Town. But that peace garden was put in there about a month ago. And so there have been improvements made down there. They added some benches and put in some, you know, crushed rock.
Down at the duck pond?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that used to be such, well, it's been used for many things over the years. but let's go back many, many years ago when I remember, you know, small. It was always clean. It appeared to be pristine. It wasn't muddy. Mm-hmm. Now, this could be little guy's memories also. But it was much more engaging. Is that kind of the purpose of all this, is to reacquaint the community with the duck pond, with the park, with the slides and all the stuff that's down there?
Definitely. I think that the, you know, there's been drainage issues in there and erosion issues, and that's kind of filled in the duck pond.
Oh, that's where the sediment's been coming
from? Yeah, and so we'd like to, that's the trail work that we'd like to do to prevent some of that erosion, then potentially get the sediment out of the pond. We'd love to have stocking the pond and have some fish days.
Or even ducks. It's 8:30. Well, yeah.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Miles Slattery from the City of Eureka. Talk Shop presented this morning by Redeck and by CDH Painting. Miles, the zoo, the park, I know it used to be hyphenated, Sequoia Park and Zoo, but now it kind of seems like each has its own personality, which I don't know if that's good or bad. It just kind of seems to be the case. When you see what the attendance is, you know, whether it's, well, I guess the Douglas's garden. I mean, they may as well get credit. They're the guys that are doing it. The zoo, the park. Yeah, you could even say the softball fields. I know it's not Kennedy 1 and 2 anymore, but whatever it's called.
Kennedy Hartman.
Thank you. Are they being used as much now as what they have been historically?
The ball fields?
Everything. Kind of, you know, if you looked at the complex, kind of all sort of loosely connected. Are they being as used now as what they have been? Do you have any kind of a sense?
I actually think it's gotten, at least in my time, I'm not.
I know, you're not an old duffer, thank you.
But in my time, it definitely has, especially the park itself. And, you know, obviously the zoo has good attendance numbers, but the park itself has had a lot of, you know, it's one of our, it's our signature park. And I think that there's a lot of attendance there. We get a lot of daily walkers. We have a local resident that just put in some wood boxes, I mean some duck boxes down there to protect the ducks, and we just had some ducklings that were hatched down at the duck pond. We've put some effort in. Jeannie Breslin with I Like Eureka got together with local businesses, Ace Hardware, Paletsky's Appliance, and Mercer Fraser, and completely redid the cook shack there. The cook shack now has all new countertops, floors, new range.
Is that accessible for the community?
Yep. So we rent it out to the community for a very inexpensive price. I think it's $50 for 3 hours, and you get the cook shack and the picnic area there. We rent out other parts of the park. We have birthday parties, especially in the summertime, at least 3-4 a day sometimes in the weekends. And so, yeah, we're getting a lot of good use out of there. The ball fields, you know, we got rid of softball league in 08, 07 or something due to budget cuts. And so we
I thought it had involvement with beer.
No. But that you know, we haven't got back to those numbers yet, but we have seen increasing numbers over the past few years. We get anywhere from 45 to 55 teams that participate in our softball leagues. They use Cooper Gulch as well as the Kennedy Hartman fields, and you know, we get good use. We also
Hartman?
That's a good question. I don't know that.
Okay. But I didn't think it was after Phil.
There is a plaque over there, but it's not Phil Hartman. Okay. But we also got into an agreement with Redwood Empire Little League, and so they're starting to use those fields as well. So
that makes a ton of sense, you know, with as many of the regional events that come into the area that, you know, well, I can remember them as Little League fields. I mean, that was part of the fun.
Yeah, and part of the reason is, you know, there was a separation between Eureka Little League and Redwood Empire. That no longer exists. Our whole area is now in Redwood Empire Little League's jurisdiction, and so it helps out to have all the ball fields. They can use Rex's fields up there as well as all of our ball fields. We're looking at tournaments coming up this summer. We're going to have one for sure in the first week of August. There'll be a baseball tournament, and we see that as a good way of bringing people to the area, because a lot of the baseball tournaments in the summer are in very hot areas, and because of our climate, it's a really good place to have baseball tournaments. It's a good revenue generator, and it's also a good economic driver to bring people from out of the area here.
The gazebo that's in the park, mm-hmm. I've seen some of the old historical pictures. Looks like it was used a little bit differently than what it is today.
Yes.
Is there any thought to that being developed any differently, or is that kind of a bygone era and the gazebo is just kind of what it is and you maintain it and thank you very much?
I mean, we rent that as well, and we have, you know, we have our Get Out and Play Day that's going to be this year on July 29th. And so that is, you know, used for Rockin' in the Redwoods. We have, you know, a bunch of events in Sequoia Park for that Get Out and Play Day. But that will come from that master plan. When we're starting engaging the public, see what they want to see, you know, that'll come through that process. And so be looking for a press release soon.
When you do the master plan, is there a dollar sign associated with it, or initially are you looking for community? What would you really like? And don't worry about the dollars. What would you really like? And kind of use it as a brainstorming opportunity?
It'll be that. I mean, it has to fit within our programming. We have to understand that there are certain uses that we want to maintain there, but as long as those programs are maintained, any changes are feasible. And, you know, we've gotten a lot of support from Old Town Rotary. They started a fund at Humboldt Area Foundation, the Sequoia Park Improvement Fund. And then Redwood Capital Bank donated $10,000 to go through this master plan process and come up with a conceptual design for this place. And John Dalby and Jeff Pauly of the two organizations have been great to work with. And, you know, we've done a lot of fundraising events through other Rotaries in order to get funding there. I think once we get the master plan, we'll put that out to the public. And I think that it'll generate a lot of interest and we'll be able to get the funding to make the plan happen.
KINS, News and Information Times, 841. We'll be back with more from Miles Slattery.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46, final segment of the week.
Hey.
And the week is February the 9th. Miles, looking at some of the facilities that Eureka has, and I made comment, it's kind of cool to see how the Little Leagues are now together as one, and the revenues and the resources are being applied, so the facilities are all going to be up to grade, and that is cool. The parks themselves, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier about Sequoia Park being as used as it is. Does Eureka have, and this might be sacrilegious, so shoot me if you need to, too many parks to be able to maintain with the budget you have? Let's forget about the impact to a neighborhood at this point. Are there too many to be able to afford with 2030 and some of the other parks that are large footprints? are they able to be maintained with the staffing and the resources that exist at this time?
I mean, I will never say we have too many parks. If anything, we have two less parks. The maintenance issue is definitely there. We have basically six full-time staff that oversee 13 different parks and hundreds of acres of open space. So it is daunting.
Well, and then you got buildings also that are on those sites that it's not just mowing the grass.
True, and that's why we've got a lot of, you know, Parks and Rec oversees facilities as well, and so we get a lot of help, and we also oversee Harbor, and so, you know, we try and combine all of those staffing levels to help out everybody. So whether it's the 6.3 miles of waterfront we need to maintain, or the 86 buildings we need to maintain, or the 13 parks and all the open space, we try and do that as an overall group. And there's definitely a lot of cross training. You know, we have parks people doing facilities work, we have facilities people doing parks work, and so we try and, you know, also work with volunteer groups and get help from volunteer groups. We have one obviously at the Myrtle Grove Cemetery. We also have volunteer groups at other facilities as well along the trails and those type of things. And so, you know, I'll never say we have too many parks. I think that we're really doing a good job of getting funding for deferred maintenance on those parks. There hasn't been funding from the general fund to do that. We only operate on an $800,000 a year budget for all of our parks division, and that's woefully inadequate.
And that's personnel as well as all the other stuff.
Everything is $800,000, but we have, you know, we've gotten grants to build playgrounds, and we're looking at grants currently to upgrade the facilities. We have a grant out now for $400,000 to upgrade Hammond Park. We are looking at a grant in Land Aquatic Conservation Fund to improve Highland Park. That has a lot of deferred maintenance there. We're working with local rotaries. As a matter of fact, Martini's by the Bay happened last night, and that the proceeds from that will go towards upgrading and resurfacing the basketball court at Highland Park, which is needed badly.
Needs. Yeah.
And so we want to thank Southwest Rotary for having that last night. It was a very successful event. But, you know, we just have to continue to be creative in order to figure these things out. I agree with you, $800,000 a year to maintain those parks is inadequate, but we can figure it out. We got a good staff, and we have a lot of interested community members that are interested in making sure these parks are maintained.
I would think that the parks are probably one of the easier ones to get community support for. Mm-hmm. Just because they're parks. Carson is the one that's kind of around our neighborhood. I'm not sure if the clubhouse has even had anybody look at it in the 35 years since I was a camp counselor there. There always are going to be needs, but is there opportunities for folks to pitch in and help?
So that's another Rotary project. The Old Town Rotary is interested in starting a campaign for Carson Park to go with the Sequoia Park. So that'll be coming soon.
To a park near me.
Yes.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
All right,
have fun this week and don't hurt yourself.
I won't.
See everybody on Monday.